Great to see everyone out. I think a few days, hopefully Tom will be feeling better. Take a few, nothing, no, none of those procedures make you feel good in the immediate, but hopefully it delivers long-term results. Good songs and prayers and enjoyable. And glad we can be back together again this morning. Encourage you to take your Bibles out and turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're going to talk again about Jesus' last week, the last week of Jesus' life. And as I studied, personally have studied this and put these puzzles, or put these events together, there seems to be a pattern. I'm going to try to, as I do the lessons, I think it will come out. Last week we talked about Zacchaeus. Luke records the event of Zacchaeus for us, and we see that the Zacchaeus happened. The day before he enters the temple on the donkey, and so what we had and what we presented last week was Jesus, the servant king, riding the donkey into Jerusalem. Jesus, the servant king or slave king, is a term that we actually used in a lesson. And so the king of Jews, the king of the Jews, ate with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Someone the Jews despised and hated. Zacchaeus, the lowly publican, the king of the Jews, ate with. And that means something. And the king, after he leaves Zacchaeus, he enters Jerusalem on this donkey, this colt, donkey colt that had never been ridden before. He rides, the king of the Jews rides in a donkey, a symbol of peace. He does not enter Jerusalem upon a horse and a chariot. He does not enter Jerusalem like a conquering king. He enters a king, he enters Jerusalem as the servant king. And we made the point too that later this week, Jesus, the king, is going to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus, the king, is going to wash his disciples' feet. So as we continue our lesson today, well, let's look at the map. I picked up a map this time to show kind of the travels that they're going through here. As we talked about Zacchaeus, the road to Jericho was over here, and this is actually labeled that. There's a loop here between these cities. So Jesus has come to Bethany and Bethpage, it states. He gets on a donkey in Mark 11, as we studied from, and he enters the temple. And so they ride through here, and that's just a mile or two is the distance on this page anyways. So that's when Jesus enters, the king enters Jerusalem is the point we made last week. This lesson today and next week's lesson is going to be the king who has just rode in Jerusalem. After he's done, he actually rides a donkey apparently into the temple, looks around and leaves. And it says he goes back to Bethpage, back here, Bethany, and resides there. The next morning he gets up, and I'm labeling this next morning being a Monday. This is a day of rejections. So the king accepts Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the lowly publican. Today, he rejects two things. They will say he rejects a barren fig tree, and he cleanses the temple. And that's why I call this a day of rejection. Kings, the king's rejections. And that's what we're going to look at. So on this Monday, he spends the night, it says in Matthew's account, and you'll notice, and sometimes we skip between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, typically at this point. But putting all these accounts together as best as I study, Matthew shows that he actually spends the night at Bethany, and he travels to the temple on Monday, on this next day. And on this road and on this journey is where our event happens that we're going to talk about today, and that is the barren fig tree. Now, as many of you know, we think about figs as kids. They're not the fig newts. It's not. There's actually a fruit, and it's a fig. It looks like that. They're small. They're about this big. And what's interesting about a fig tree, unlike our apple and our pears and pecans and other nut trees and other fruit trees, the fig tree bears continuously through the year. In other words, at any point in time that this tree is growing and alive, it's going to be bearing fruit. And versus a tree that like an apple tree where you wait until the end of the year that you actually have a harvest. A fig tree is continually bearing fruit, which makes it great for food, and which brings us to the occasion we're talking about. And I already showed the verses there. We're looking in Mark, and we'll actually read those now.
But on this Monday, after Jesus entered the temple, enters Jerusalem on a Sunday, enters Jerusalem on a donkey. Now on Mark chapter 11, and starting at verse 12 through 14 at first, we're going to look at this fig tree. And looking at this, remember, in the picture here, Jesus the King has rejected some things today. In this case, he's rejected a fig tree. Mark chapter 12, and let's read those three verses for now. On the morrow, which is the next day being Monday, when they were come from Bethany, we loaded that on a map, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So as we look back, so our narrative, he's been at Bethany, and now he makes his way back, and on his way to Jerusalem, whichever route he chose to take, he sees this fig tree, and he sees it leafed out, and since a fig tree bears continuously with leaves on it, he would expect to find fruit. And as the narrative says, he came up on the fig tree, and he found no fruit. And he rejects this. And then noted in Matthew chapter 21, verse 19, we're going to bump around the Gospels just a little bit today to put the whole the picture together for us. Each account gives us sometimes a little bit different perspective, a little bit different detail. There in Matthew chapter 21, verse 19, it says the fig tree withered immediately. Matthew chapter 21, verse 19. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing but leaves only, and said to it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And immediately the fig tree withered away. So we see as he come up on this fig tree, he performed a miracle. If you've ever done this, or dug up a tree, or cut down a tree, or seen a tree die, they don't just die. The leaves just don't wilt the day you do that, like even a small flower or a small vegetable plant might do. It takes trees a long time to die. This one withered immediately, it says. Our gospel writers tell us that. And you probably, when we talk about a barren fig tree, the probably one thing that comes to your mind is the parable of the barren fig tree, which is not this event. But just look at that. It's Luke chapter 13, if you'll turn over there, because this event in Luke chapter 13 happened in the previous year. I believe that there is at least some tie-in, likely the disciples' mind, as Jesus taught. If it was something he taught in the previous year, that it would come to mind. It certainly comes to our mind as we think about barren fig trees. And there's going to be some comparisons I want to make as we talk about this fig tree that Jesus rejects here. But in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, let's read this passage. Because it makes a point, I'm going to make a point in the lesson that as we compare these two. Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 9. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So you notice a common theme there. If you don't repent, you will perish. Then Jesus spoke this parable in verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. You see the parallel as we think about a fig tree and how it's used in the lesson here. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, till I dig around it and dung it and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So we see in this parable, the parable of barren fig tree, he gave it time to produce. He gave it time to grow. He gave it 3 years. And then he come and then find fruit still. So why is he taking up the ground here? Plant a different tree there so we can have fruit, so we can have food. And the parable, as you saw, it says, let me dig around and we aerate the ground, let me fertilize it, and then let's see if it'll produce. Maybe we've not done everything we can to help this tree along. Except you repent, ye shall likewise perish, is the moral of that story there. It was in his last year, so it was a previous 12 months to the events that we're talking about in Mark chapter 11. So it was, the message was within this last year. We see in this parable, at least we're given opportunity to repent, an opportunity to change. The moral of that story is there was still time. There was still time to grow, still time to develop, still time to produce that fruit. But our fig tree, there was no time left, was there? Jesus had rejected our fig tree. This latter tree had no time to produce fruit. There was no opportunity given to it. Jesus immediately struck it down. And I don't think I'm drawing too much on this, but I think as we consider these lessons and put them together, I think there's some lessons we can see. And what would the disciples be thinking when they saw that this fig tree, immediately Jesus killed this fig tree. He took this fig tree out. I think the message is, the time for repentance is past. The time for repentance is past. It's time for judgment. And if you think about it, the next thing that happens after this fig tree, he curses this fig tree, he cleanses the temple. Jesus, who accepted the tax collector, who sat down and ate with the tax collector, something abhorred by the Jews, their king, accepted this tax collector. He rejects a barren fig tree. He rejects the temple worship, the temple activities that the Jews are going. Today is a day of rejection. Today is a time for judgment. And I think we see that, and the disciples may not have understood that so much, but the time for judgment was upon them. A few days, probably, this, I don't know in Matthew 23 exactly what day this is. This may be the very next day, or maybe after, or it's either when they cleanse the temple, Matthew 23 is spoken, or the next day, Jesus returns the next day to the temple. Matthew 23 is written, or Jesus teaches this lesson in Matthew 23. So on a day of rejection, a day of no longer time for repentance, Matthew 23, starting at verse 34. Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, wise men, scribes. Some of them you shall kill and crucify. Some you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. It's a time for judgment. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You've been rejected. You've been rejected. It's time for judgment. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So on this same day or the next day, Jesus makes this these woes and pronounces it's time for judgment. It's upon them. There's no longer time for repentance. The barren fig tree didn't have time to produce fruit anymore. It was its day. It was its day. An application for us as we think about this barren fig tree is God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for us. Just like that fig tree in the parable, we have time. He has given us time to grow and develop, produce fruit. Purpose not study that parable necessarily in detail, but you think about it, there are things that we can do to help grow and develop, and those things are important, and there's a time for that. This is our time right now that we do those things for us individually. And notice as well, as we looked at that parable, even though it's briefly here, the patience. He gave it 3 years to produce fruit. And then gave it another year to aerate and fertilize and to try and do things to help it produce fruit. Patience and effort. It takes patience and effort to produce fruit, to be the kind of person we need to be that God wants us to be. But one day, for us, it's going to be like that barren fig tree that he saw on the way to Jerusalem. There was no more time for it to bear. His day was that day, as we saw in the analogy. One day will be that way for us. As the scripture says, in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking. And that's actually in Matthew 24, that analogy is given. And Matthew 24, verse 38 or 36 and on, that day is not known, but when that day comes, when Jesus comes, it will be that day. And there will no longer be a time to change. No longer be a time to fix what's wrong in our lives or what we've not done or what we need to do. So the barren fig tree, the king has rejected. The king has rejected this barren fig tree. And I believe a symbol of the things going on that day. Not only did he reject that barren fig tree, he's rejecting the temple worship. He's rejecting the Jews. And we're going to talk about those people next week. But we see the parable or the Jesus's events. Jesus, as they go about and do the things, he goes to the temple. He cleanses the temple. And then the next day, they travel back to Jerusalem again. So he goes back to Bethany, and he returns back the next day. Okay, so now we're on Tuesday. And we're skipping the purging of the temple, the cleansing of the temple, because we're going to stick to the narrative here of our barren fig tree. Because the next day, the barren fig tree comes up again. And so keep in mind, we're bypassing the cleansing of the temple, and we're going to stay with the narrative, to stay on topic here, the barren fig tree. And so in Mark chapter 11, and 20 through 24, we'll continue the narrative about this fig tree. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We're going to cut off there in our reading now. So we take this barren fig tree. After rejecting the fig tree, it seems now on the next day, you know, Monday was his day of rejection. Today, he uses this to make some lessons. He uses this to teach his disciples. And so because this involves the fig tree that he cursed the day before us, we're going to look at this and draw also lessons from this fig tree on this second day as he comes back to teach his disciples. And these are not new lessons for his disciples. These are this lesson he teaches is so similar to other ones he's taught before. But notice, first of all, the miracle. We talked about how trees don't just die one day. This one did. Mark records here that the tree was dried up. Dried up. Not just wilted, not just withered. Mark uses the word dried up here on the second day. And so we see again a miracle that's performed by our Savior. His teaching is, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You see, the disciples had weak faith. And even in this case, he says they could move mountains. You think about that. And as we look at the mountains around us, or forget mountains, how about a tree? How about this tree out here? I dare say that Chad's backhoe probably couldn't take that tree down. But Jesus says, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus tell them about their faith? Be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. Jesus taught his disciples to have faith. Don't doubt. And we understand, we realize, disciples had weak faith. It took them back to get this idea of patience.
The idea of patience for that fig tree, the first parable of fig tree, had 3 years plus one. Well, ironically, maybe not. Jesus' ministry was 3 years long, roughly. His disciples, 3 years into this, still had a weak faith.
Look back. Let's look at these other passages where it's almost, the similarities are so close. In Matthew chapter 17, previous teaching that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples faith, in Matthew 17, verse 14 through 21. Matthew 17, verse 14 through 21. They were come, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is, what was the word? He has a devil, and the King James uses a different word, but he had a devil, and was sore vexed, for often he falls in the fire and often into the water. And he brought him to his disciples, and they could not cure him. The disciples could not cure him.
Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goes not out, but by prayer and fasting. Say unto this mountain, Be removed to yonder place. This mountain, forget it. The next one we're going to find by the tree, but if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say, The mountain be moved, and it'll be moved. That's just something that today, as we look at the mountains and we look at what's around us, we are incapable in any way, shape, or form. But even the largest nuclear weapon couldn't move a mountain. Matter of fact, I think North Korea was testing theirs underneath the mountain. They could finally cave in on it. The most powerful thing we have can't do that. But Jesus said if you had faith with a grain of mustard seed, you could do that. And what I referenced about the tree, also in Luke chapter 17, another passage that relates the same teaching, the same instructions to his disciples with weak faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Luke 17, 5 and 6. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. So they're asking here, increase our faith. And the Lord said, If you had faith, the grain of mustard seed, there's that same analogy again, the mustard seed, but a different time. You would say unto the sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You take the big old, any of these large ash trees, or aspen trees, or whatever tree you find out here. Jesus said you can just pluck it by your faith. If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can have this tree move. Jesus is trying to instruct his disciples to have faith, have belief. They lacked it, they were weak. But yet he has patience, and he's again, on his last week here, encouraged them to have faith. And no doubt they would remember these other two parables and other two teachings that Jesus gave about having faith. I say parable, not parable, or teachings. Faith to move mountains or trees, but they didn't have faith. But Jesus is trying to teach them to have faith in God. His last week, 3 years of ministry, he's still trying to teach his disciples to have faith. And he continues on in Matthew 11. He does, in Mark 11, did it again. Mark 11, 25, 26, the last point we're going to look at associated with this fig tree. And it continues the thought about having faith. And he says, verse 25 in Mark 11, When you stand praying, forgive. If you ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So here's some quick final instructions for his disciples and apostles. You have faith. If you had a little bit of faith, you could move mountains. But here, forgive others. Something that was so important, don't hold grudges. Don't hold things against people in your life. Forgive others. Forgive others. Jesus, on a couple of occasions, has taught the similar message. In Mark, that's Mark 11. That's not Matthew 11 either. It's Luke 11. In Luke 11, 4. I believe that's right. Luke 11, verse 4, yes. Forgive us our sins. This is Jesus' model prayer as he teaches disciples to pray. And Jesus says, And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, he actually used the word sins. In Matthew chapter 6, I changed that from Matthew 6, is why it says Matthew. Matthew 6, it said, Forgive us our debts. The idea is about forgiveness of sins. When we've been sinned against, or when we've sinned, in this case, forgive others and forgive us of our sins. The parable of unforgiving servant. The unforgiving servant was forgiven of a great debt. And someday we'll look at this parable in a lesson, probably. This great debt was forgiven to him, but then he turns around and refuses to and deals harshly with his servant who owes a small debt. And the parable there being, obviously, the unforgiving servant was punished severely for it, and sorely punished for that. Forgive others. And so as we look at these things, let's think about the application. And the biggest thing is about prayer in our lives. Realizing the power of prayer. That we can pray to God, that we have access to. And I've got two passages that James we want to talk about. And that have the prayer and do it by faith. That we have faith. Don't do it doubting. That's one thing James makes a point of saying here. That we have faith in our prayers when we ask God. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. And so there's that passage looking in for the verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, that man being the one that does not have faith. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus wants us to have faith. James, the writer, tells us to have faith. He wants his disciples to have faith. In that case, he's telling disciples, if you could tell this mountain to be cast in the sea or moved over there and it would go, you could pick up the sycamore tree and plant it where you want to plant it. That's the kind of faith. If they had the faith of a mustard seed, which they did not even have yet, those things could happen. God wants us to have faith too. And so he took this occurrence and passed by this fig tree again. He gives these lessons. And then an example of, if you're still in James, James chapter 5, the power of faith. If we believe, nothing wavering, the power of faith of the Christian. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, Jesus says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Have faith. Have faith. Elias, and the example he gives, I think this is the most powerful part of this message here on prayer. Elias prayed, here in James, the message that James gives, Elias prayed, he was a man subject to the like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain but a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So we see there the power of prayer. Have faith in our God. Have faith in our Savior. Faith in the grain of mustard seed, as he told the disciples. Now, no doubt the disciples had the powers of the Holy Spirit at their hand and their disposal, and some of those particular teachings were directly associated with that. But Jesus wants his children, the righteous man, to be a man of faith, be a man of prayer. Also, another point to be made from this lesson of the dead fig tree on the second day, on this Tuesday, have faith in God, but also forgive others. Don't hold grudges. Don't forget about the parable of the unforgiving servant. We also have studied recently in James about having mercy and justice. If you're actually, my Bible's still open there, maybe yours is. The idea of forgiving and being merciful. For he shall have judgment in James 2:13. He shall have judgment without mercy for him that shows no mercy. And so that instruction there given by James. Very important that we are able to forgive others in this life. And that's what Jesus took this time on Tuesday to teach his disciples as they returned to Jerusalem, as they headed back into Jerusalem, to forgive others. So lessons we can learn from this barren fig tree. The context, a servant king who accepts Zacchaeus the publican, who was abhorred and looked down upon by all the Jews as detestable. But he comes, and on the way, he finds a barren fig tree, and he rejects it. So it's a day of rejection, as I put it together. The king's rejection, he rejects a barren fig tree. Its time had passed. It was time for judgment. There was opportunity in his life, in his time, but it was no longer. And that was the case for the Jews. Their time for repentance, their time for change, their time for accepting Jesus was quickly passing. On the Monday, it was a day of judgment, a day of rejection, this fig tree, and later, we're going to talk about next week, Lord willing,
how he rejected the Jews' worship and the Jews' the pattern of things that Jews had done in the temple. We'll talk about that. I think all this might make more sense for you even then, how it's a day of rejection for Jesus, their king. Fulfill God's purpose. The barren fig tree did not fulfill God's purpose. It should have had fruit on it, but it didn't. It was a fig tree. It continually bare through the year. It had leaves already, but no figs. And Jesus cast his judgment and cursed it that day. And the lesson for us, even as we look back to the parable of barren fig tree, parable of the barren fig tree, that we must bear fruit or we'll be rejected. We have time, but we have to bear fruit or be rejected. That we should have faith. Have faith in at least even as small as a grain of mustard seed. If your faith is that little in God, it's enough, and it's more than the disciples had. And Jesus took this time to teach his disciples to have faith and also to forgive, that they forgive others so that they themselves can be forgiven too. And it almost, in my mind, as I read and study this, the second day is a little out of place. It doesn't fit so much, but you know what? The Monday was a hard day. Monday was a hard day for Jesus. Monday was a day he tossed the money changers out of the temple. We'll realize that as we study and read the account of him cleansing the temple. This was a hard day. And on the way in there, he sought fruit on this tree. He didn't find it. And so we see those events happen. And maybe these lessons, but one of my purposes in doing this is to kind of piece together the last week of Jesus' life. How did these events transpire? How do they unfold? And when we're with somebody on an hour-to-hour, a day-to-day basis, we're going to see some things that come out and maybe makes more value to us in study as we look at these things. And so today, on Monday, was a day of rejection. On Tuesday, it was a day of teaching. A day of teaching instructed the disciples before he entered back into the temple and was then interrogated by the Jews again, which we'll get to that at some point in time as well, probably. But are we producing fruit? Jesus condemned the barren fig tree in both cases, both the parable of the fig tree and this occasion and his travels to the temple and to Jerusalem. The barren fig tree was rejected either way. We must produce fruit. We must be about our Father's business. Are we fulfilling our purpose here that God has placed for us? He's designed us for a purpose here. It's not just to live and fulfill the lust of our own lives and the things we want in this life. He set us here to produce fruit. He's put us here to learn His will, to apply His will in our lives. Part of His will that allows us to live and grow and bear fruit is the fact that we can be forgiven of our sins. We don't have to hold those sins in our life. It's a burden we don't bear. It's a burden of Christ for us. And we access and we have that burden lifted. At Calvary, as that song we sing, that burden is lifted through the watery grave of baptism, that is removed and washed off, and those sins not to be accounted to us again. But if we lived our life and stumbled along the way, and we begin to carry a burden that we need to shed again, we offer you this time to make that known as well, to have get yourself right with God this day if it's necessary. So if you're subject to our gospel's call in any way, won't you come and stand, as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?